I was baptized when I was 12. And one of the challenges I had as a young Christian was what to think about when they passed the Lord's Supper. There was more than 300 people where I attended. Lord's Supper took a few minutes. And so you had some time to contemplate the elements of the supper. And I was listening to Gardner Halls, one of his posts in English, and it was a brief recording of some comments he'd made before the Lord's Supper where they were worshiping there in New York. It reminded me of things I was taught when I was younger, and I thought this morning, for a few minutes, we would consider those things. Maybe it'll help us at the next hour when we partake of the supper. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 5, Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper. I'd like to start out with the context of that reading. Paul, in its context, is warning the Corinthians to avoid idolatry, not to get caught up in idolatry, not to return to idolatry. In the context, he encourages self-control. In the verses that follow this reading, he will encourage them to control their lusts, to avoid fornication, to avoid tempting Christ as those in the wilderness had, to avoid murmuring. He warns against being overly confident in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. He used himself as an example in chapter 9, an example of self-control. He and Barnabas as well, they were free to marry, but Paul had not married. He'd chosen not to. He could ask for their support financially, but again, he had chosen not to. He would take support from others, but not from those that he was teaching. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. And then in chapter 9, verse 19, he says, "For though I am free from all, I brought myself under bondage to all, that I might gain the more." He sets before them his own self-control. Then in chapter 10, he writes of how the children of Israel had failed in their self-control. And because of that failure, they had also failed to enter the promised land. And his comparisons here to the Lord's Supper, I think, are helpful to us as Christians today. So let's take a minute and read 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 5. "For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. However, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." In those first two verses, Paul talks about how we as Christians, particularly those saints in Corinth, we share a commonality with those Israelites. We have a similar history. We were all baptized. The Israelites were baptized when they passed through the sea under the cloud. They were surrounded by water. And so he refers to that as their baptism. And we, like the saints in Corinth, we were immersed in water. at the confession of our faith in Jesus as the Christ. And then in verse 3, he says, and did all eat the same spiritual food? Their spiritual food was manna that was provided from heaven. Our spiritual food is the body of Christ, the symbolic eating, as it were, of his flesh when we partake of the unleavened bread. In verse 4, he says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Their spiritual drink was the water God provided from the rock. Paul drew a relationship there to Christ in that provision of water and in that rock. Our spiritual drink is the blood of Christ. It's memorialized in the fruit of the vine, the juice that we drink when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Paul's just making a very simple comparison to the similarities between those Israelites who came out of bondage in Egypt and Christians who come out of the bondage of sin, how they had spiritual food provided and we have spiritual food provided. They had spiritual drink provided. We have spiritual drink. He compares water and blood, and he compares the manna to the bread, which is Christ's body. It's interesting when you look at these first four verses in particular, he's talking about how it was common to all. Look at those first four verses. In verse 1, all were under the cloud. Everyone who came out of Egypt, who came out of the bondage, they came through the sea, under the cloud. All, he says in verse 2, they were baptized. All were baptized in, no exceptions. They were all baptized into Moses. They did all eat the same spiritual food. They were genuinely God's people. They all shared these common things together. They shared the baptism. They shared the spiritual water. They shared the spiritual drink. All did eat. All did drink of the same spiritual drink. We can think of ourselves today. It's something we all share together. Every Christian has been baptized, not into Moses, but into Christ. We all eat the spiritual food and the spiritual drink we drink. They are memorialized in the body of Christ and in his blood. So what should we learn from these simple verses? Well, he makes a comparison between their baptism, their spiritual food, our baptism, our spiritual food. It is a lesson regarding the supper. He will tie it in to that as he continues in that chapter. It's a lesson about our water and our bread, and we ought to view it as if it were those in the desert. You think of how precious that water would be to those in the desert, how precious the manna would be to those who were hungry. We need the supper in the same way. The same way they needed that manna, we need the bread of Christ. We need the body. Same way they needed that water, we need the fruit of the vine. It's essential to our spiritual life. That's the first thing, is the need. It's something that we cannot do without. And we ought not look at it as if it's something we can do it. It's not, well, if I partake, that's fine. If I don't partake, well, that's fine. No, it's not that at all. It's not fine. It's like that water. If you don't drink that water in the desert, you will die. It's like that manna. If God gives you manna and you say, no, I don't think so, you will die. And spiritually, this is our life. The blood of Christ and His body is given to us. It is essential. It's not a spiritual option. And we ought to look at it that way. We either partake or we die. We need to understand it in that context. The second thing is the attitude with which we partake it. It ought to be one of great thankfulness, as one receiving food and drink in the desert. If we can understand a little bit about his analogy, if you think about those in the desert and they're traveling and they don't have water, when that water is given, there ought to be, there should be, there would normally be a great thankfulness for that. When that manna is given, there ought to be a great thankfulness. One of the things, that one of the ways they tested the Lord was they weren't thankful. They wanted more. They wanted meat. But we ought to have a thankfulness as one in the desert receiving water. We live in a world with so many choices. If you think about it, of all, in the sense of all the different foods we might eat in this world, we have lots and lots of choices. It is very easy to hardly notice the fruit of the vine and the bread that is the supper. We can forget it. We can allow it to become commonplace. It's just something we do. And some of those who have criticized the supper and tried to change it from what the Scripture describes it as, that's part of their criticism. It's the pinch and sip crowd. You know, it's just, bam, we get it over with. A little pinch, a little sip, let's get on to the next part. We got to go home. We can never allow it to become that. Not in our mind, not in our heart. It has to be something we are thankful for. Not a routine, not a commonplace thing at all. We should see the supper as one who is seeking life in the wilderness of sin. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world that you could rightly describe as a people who have generally forsaken God. And we ought to look at the Lord's Supper as the food for those who are striving to travel through the wilderness of sin and escape it. We need the spiritual food. We need that drink to live. And God has provided that in His Son. If we can somehow help our minds to understand our need, our spiritual need, and the spiritual food that God has provided, and be ever so thankful for it. He's given us drink in the blood of Christ, memorialized in the fruit of the vine. He's given us bread, which Christ is that bread, but it's memorialized here. So let our attitude be one of thankfulness for His sacrifice. It's in that sacrifice we have forgiveness of sins. It's in that sacrifice we have a hope that goes beyond this life. We don't hope in this life only. If we did, we'd be like the apostles. We would be a people who could well be pitied. But we don't. In John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall not hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." In John 6, Jesus was trying to help them understand they had to completely consume who he was. They had to take him in, believe in him, become a disciple of him, follow his teachings. It was as if they had to literally consume him. And so he would say, "I am the bread of life." The bread that came down from heaven wasn't the manna. It was Christ. And he tried to teach them. And those that would come to him, they will not hunger. It's also in that same chapter, he said in verses 53 and 54, "Truly, truly, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourselves. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." I will not suggest that the Lord's Supper is the only thing encompassed in those words. I think that would do a disservice to what Jesus has said. But the Lord's Supper is a part of that thought. This memorialized death, that he died for us, and that he gave his blood and he gave his body, and then he instructed us to partake of it. As often as you partake of that, do it in memory of me, in remembrance of me. Every time we partake of the supper, it ought to be mindful of this tremendous gift that God gave us, that sustains us, that feeds us, that if we don't partake of this, we die. And then there's the last verse of our reading in verse 5. However, all of them were baptized. All of them did drink the spiritual water. All of them did eat the spiritual bread. However, howbeit in the American Standard, with most of them, God was not well pleased. With most of them, God was not well pleased. That is a troubling thought, because it's written so that we might learn from it. That's why he's talking about it. That we might understand that all of them, they were all baptized into Moses. They all ate the spiritual food. They all drank the spiritual drink. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. What about you and me? The weekly remembrance of Christ's death ought to be a moment of soul searching, a moment of commitment, a moment when you contemplate that death that he died for us, the essentiality of this food that God has given us, and then to ask ourselves, what about me? Is God well pleased with me? Because the example that's given to us, the example, God wasn't pleased with most of them. And in fact, in this very same chapter, in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 and 12, Paul would say, of these things, now these things happened to them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There is a great danger in the kind of maybe apathy, overconfidence, combination of all the, where we think, well, I've been baptized. I partake of the Lord's Supper. I attend church. I'm fine. Well, these things were given to us as an example so that we might contemplate that they were all delivered from the bondage of Egypt. And most of them fell in the desert. What about you and me? Let these things stand as an example that will remind us each and every time we partake of the supper of the wonderful gift that's been given and of how much we need this spiritual food and drink. We'll dismiss to our classes.